Luca.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Here we are, Rob. It's been an interesting last 2 weeks for me, for the market, for personal things. But here we are.
Okay. So where are we? Did we stay on track, or do we need to go back and refresh?
No, I think you had some time to talk with yourself. Did you an app? Is there anyone there? No.
Okay, no. Oh, yeah, you're listening. No,
yeah,
the thing is that Rob just, today's call is going to be just myself and Giselle, okay?
Okay.
Juan Carlos, he's out on paternity leave, okay?
Yeah.
And Pablo is on holidays, okay?
Okay.
But we are good to go.
Good. So, did you get the scheduler and order the folders? Or where are you in terms of the process?
No, that we couldn't do. On that we are behind. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually saw the scheduler. I received it, and I did have the call, the conference, and the video with Cindy. So she actually showed me how to do it already.
Okay. Perfect. Great news, Cisa. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so in terms of we talked about folders being not necessarily something that you wanted to use because of the cross-border business and all that. Any other clarification on that? Do you want to use them just when you're there in the office for you guys?
Yeah.
And not send them to the... Yeah.
No, that's something we have to think about it, and I'm going to further discuss it with Giselle, because there might be a way that, we have to deliver the folders to the client, so probably we can do that. I can either deliver them personally, or we can send it by, let's say, like DHL or FedEx, something like that. We have to work that and see the possibilities, you know, and then I would like to have a conversation with compliance, and also you mentioned this other RSA, Andre, I guess his name. I haven't had the chance to talk to him, to see how he's doing that. But yeah, that's something you have to figure out.
Okay, good. Well, good. Well, bring you up to date on what's been happening with you.
Okay. Many things. I've been these last 2 weeks in Argentina. Actually, last week, my father, he passed away, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. So, as you can guess and imagine, my mind and my emotional energy is being... somewhere else, okay?
Yeah.
And I just came back a couple of days ago, actually on Saturday. So like 2 weeks ago, I was, you know, on the plane flying to Argentina, doing my homework and reading and everything. Then I put everything on hold, and so now I'm getting little by little, I'm getting back, okay?
Yeah. Okay, well, you need time to grieve. It's important to grieve, and it's important to take time with your family, and, you know, it's the hardest thing, it's probably the hardest thing that ever happened to me was losing my dad, and it's, you never quite get over it. You just, you know, you talk to him every day, you know, after, and he's still with me, you know, and I still think he's, you know, he's proud of me, and I love him, and I miss him, and every day, you know. But it's part of life, I guess. It's the hardest part of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to be with my brothers this week. I take a week and go up to North Carolina this year, and I'll be with, I have three brothers, and my mom and dad have passed, and their ashes have been sent to sea off of the North Carolina coast there at Sunset Beach. And my brothers and I will get together and walk the beach and talk about my parents, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never forget. Yeah. I think as long as you never forget, you know, mm-hmm. you're there with me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and I was very fortunate. I mean, I had a great relationship with him, and I also was lucky to have time to fly to be there with him and during all the process. He's suffering a cancer. So the last few days they were very, very difficult, you know, with some drugs, so he could suffer less and not that much pain. And well, I had the time, you know, to have a conversation with him, to say goodbye and so on. And by doing that, you know, now it's good, and I'm feeling, you know, much better. It's hard to lose a family member, of course. But it's what it is at the end.
Yep, that you're blessed to have that, to have a good relationship with him, to have been with him, spend time with him, love him, mm-hmm. and let him know you love him and he loves you. That lasts your whole life, then, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the end, I mean, as you said, I have the good memories, the values that I inherited from him, and then I think once let's say after the time to heal, you become stronger. So now I have a positive attitude, and I think it's gonna turn out that way.
So you're the head of the family now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. Responsibility. Yes, I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I saw Argentina was back in the market looking for financing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other. So that's imagine. I just came back from Argentina and back to office, and we're facing like a small crisis in my country that we'll see how it turns out. But now the last headlines is they're requesting help from the IMF.
Yeah.
So that's let's see how it develops. Everybody is quite stressed about it. So I imagine last 2 days been a lot of talking with clients and so on. And actually we do have exposure to Argentina. It would be similar, more or less, like for American clients having municipals, you know, you have exposure to, because you have tax benefits and so many Argentinian clients, they do have exposure to Argentinian bonds.
Yep.
So now everybody's quite concerned.
So let me ask you a question. You said that the government, though, is more of a capitalistic government now than a socialist. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They are totally market-friendly, completely different from what we had in the past. But the reality is that they made some mistakes, and, you know, that made things much worse. It started with a small crisis, and is developing into something bigger. Yeah, there are many, many mistakes done by this government. It's sad, but it's what it is.
Yeah, that's sad. I know they paid off some of their bonds to that hedge fund that bought them up, and I don't know.
That was 2 years ago.
I was hoping, you know, you always, as an investor, I'm never quite sure when to get in and when not to, and I was just hoping that, you know, with Brazil and Argentina, Chile, I don't know, becoming more conservative. Hopefully, you know, South America can be a good place, you know. And I don't know, you know, I guess, you know, if I were in the IMF and they had a conservative government, I would lend to them, you know, because I'd want to support that, right? You don't want it to go socialistic again, and then it goes down the tube, you know.
Exactly, and probably that's what's going to happen, and they have the support from the U.S. Treasury and also from the president. And yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And the thing is, I mean, then the devil's in the details. You know, we have to see how much, at which rate, and how the market is going to take it, and so on. Yeah, and then the reaction in with locals. They have a relationship with love-hate relationship with the IMF. Let's say for half of the population in Argentina, it's a good thing. For the other half, it's totally bad. So, say that. We'll see. You know, Rob, let me mention to you what I've been working on.
Okay.
So we can try to do some work to make the best of this call and this session. On my free time when I was flying to Argentina on the plane, I brought with me two things that I discovered here inside Morgan Stanley. One is an IPS. This is like a formal IPS recommended by the bank. So I was going, you know, through this policy, reading everything, and trying to implement it in my practice and for Latin American clients. Okay, and I found this very interesting because, you know, it's one key instrument or policy for setting, you know, financial goals and having a financial plan. Okay, so I would like. Understand having a financial plan by having a, let's say, an IPS, okay? So it's something I want to work on that. And then I found something that it's called the Client's World. It's a multi-level discovery system. I'm going to try to forward this to you because it's a great tool that we have here in order, you know, to do the right discovery questions. It's actually a discovery system, okay, to get to gather information of clients. And it's very, very, very interesting. So this also might be, you know, might be of help maybe later. But these are two things that I have here on my desk and they might be of help. Then what I also did was try to come up with what would be an ideal day, an ideal week, okay? And then also the questions to do in meetings or in calls. For those clients that we're going to be implementing Supernova, okay?
Yep.
And then in turn, the ideal day, I divided in, you know, how many minutes do I take for some items, you know, for reading markets, talking to clients, answering emails, I'd say grow activities like prospecting, then, you know, like wrapping up the day and so on. Then I came up with some percentages in terms of how am I allocating, you know, my time. The ideal, what I actually do today, you know, how much time I'm spending each day and then what I should be doing, you know, and spending a lot of time, you know, reading markets, reading emails, very reactively talking to clients, and very little, you know, grow activities like prospecting, you know. And so I'm trying, you know, to work on that. to have a more balance and to have more time, you know, for what's important. Like, at the end, we'll be talking to clients and to prospects, you know.
Right.
Then I also outline that would be like an ideal week in terms of what we should be doing with the team. I'm trying to have a, like a weekly meeting with the team and then, you know, those things that I should be doing, like, sending, once a week, an email to clients with some special information and so on. So I've been working on the day and the week and agenda to try to optimize the day and the time. Okay.
And it's important for you to actually have your ideal month and your ideal year.
Yes,
okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
You need, particularly you, where your travel is such an important part of your life. Having those planned can be a huge help rather than just going when you feel like it or when some client calls. Have it organized. The 12-4-2s, as you know, will cut down on the random emails and phone calls and things for you and for them. And frankly, here's the part that's important. I know this sounds crazy, but you're going to be too busy to be wasting time. Because what you do now is you react to things that you shouldn't react to.
Exactly.
And because you have time. And when you go into 12-4-2 and you do it right and your preparation time and everything is scheduled and then sending out executive summaries, you don't have any time. You know, and then you schedule your prospecting. That also eats up that time wasted.
Yeah.
So now you're doing nothing but productive things all day instead of finishing the day saying, what did I actually do today? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what you've done. You've called four clients, you've called three prospects, and you're done. Okay? You had a great day.
Yeah.
And you know tomorrow you're going to be talking to four people, and you've got three prospects that you've got appointments with. You know, so you're organized. You know, you're organized.
Yeah.
And that to me is the biggest. And then you don't have this anxiety of, you know, who have I called? What do I do? You know, how do I react to this IMF news? What do I do with this? You don't have time for that. You know, you're just working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're organized, and you have a mission and a purpose every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're gonna love it.
Actually, I did also some math in terms of how many times should I be talking a day. And first of all, I think we're gonna end up servicing 40 clients with the Sonoma model. Okay.
Yeah.
So that would be roughly like talking with two clients a day.
That's right.
Like 10, you know, 10 clients per week, and would be like 40 clients a month. Okay.
Right. No, that's
so
right.
A rough number. Okay. Then
no,
also,
that's,
yeah, sorry.
That's perfect. That's actually exactly what it is. Two clients a day.
Yeah.
That's not rough. That's exact.
Okay. Okay.
But if you're gonna take Fridays off, then it becomes, you know, three clients.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I like that idea, but maybe to a later stage. Yeah.
And I don't mean, you know, just take it off, but that could be a travel day. That could be
exactly, or more prospecting.
Prospecting.
Having lunch, let's say long lunch, something like that, you know.
You could also do, let's say, you know, four clients, 2 days, two clients one day, and then have literally 2 days to prospect.
Mm.
You know, so you can think of it, and that's why I want you to create your ideal day based on how you best prospect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, You almost start with the best. How am I going to just do nothing but prospecting? How would I best prospect? Does that mean lunches every day? Does that mean breakfast? Does that mean dinner? Does that mean I call all day, one day? You know yourself and your efficiency. So you need to kind of think through that rather than schedule all your client appointments and then try and fit in your prospecting. See what I mean? Get your prospecting established first.
Mm-hmm.
And then fit in your client appointments. It sounds like it's backwards, but it's not. Because the prospecting is the growth. That's the future. You go from being a utility to being Google, to being a growth stock. You want to be a growth stock. So you've got to have time to grow, and you've got to have a process for growing. And that requires structure.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want you to really think about that and think, you can change this too, But once you lock in clients and they know you're going to be calling them at a certain time, every month, you can change it, but it's a little bit of a hassle.
Yeah. We'll have to work on that and also see agendas, with clients. Sometimes they don't like talking on a Friday or a Monday, for example. So some others do. So we'll have to see that, and also prospecting. There's also a component of calling, but there's also meeting, prospecting in different places,
right.
And traveling and so on. And then I do travel in Argentina. If I follow the 12-4-2, you say two personal meetings, that would be making, two trips to Argentina a year. I do more than that. I do four, five, or six trips to Argentina. So I will have to figure out which travels are for, servicing clients or for prospecting or half and half. So those things, I think we're gonna decide a little bit later on. Yeah.
Yeah, how often do you go to, how often do you like to go? Do you have a schedule?
Well, no. And that's something I should have, three or four times that I should do, each quarter. And then upon request or upon an opportunity, I don't know. So that's something I also been thinking about. Three times or four times, but that depends.
Let me make a suggestion. You have January, April, July, and October. Typically are what we call 5-week months. Okay?
Yeah.
That may not work out for you to go then, but you have an extra week in there.
Yeah, but you have to take into consideration this, Rob. For Latin America and for Argentina, we have January and February are it's summer, okay? So basically, December, January, and February is holidays. So most of the times they are away,
Okay.
So you start the year, let's say by March, okay? So January and February would be great time to do prospecting. And to be talking with clients in a different fashion, to be with them, doing some hospitality, going for lunch or playing golf or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was going to say. Because they're on holiday means that that's a great time to meet with them,
Yeah, exactly. Relax. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's a social meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I was working, I'm working with a guy from, Philadelphia, and he's a tennis player, and he has a client, and he's gonna, be putting on an event at Philadelphia Cricket Club for a client and his friends. The company just went public, but they're all avid tennis players. And they're in Boston. They're going to fly down, and he's hosting an event there at Philadelphia Cricket Club, and then they'll go back to Boston to Longwood Cricket Club and play tennis there. And so it's all social, but this is his networking opportunity. And so they're introducing him to all kinds of really important people in the biotechnology and genetic splicing of blood and all that business. And, you know, you could do the same thing, right? I mean, whatever sport, golf, you know, host something, host a bunch of guys at a nice club. And, you know, I'm just throwing that out as, you know, it's just working so well for him. It's amazing. He's just getting introduced to all kinds of people because of his love of tennis. And so, you know, it works, right?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, so that's good. Scheduling, getting your agenda. We create what we call a 24-month calendar to help organize your ideas, because we get into this where we take care of the immediate needs of the client, but then we kind of postpone some of the longer-term needs. Mm-hmm. And so we create this 24-month calendar of products and services that we offer that we frankly never get around to talking about. And so that, people say to me, well, what are you talking about on the agenda? I said, well, you can use these educational opportunities, you know, if the air gets quiet and you need something to talk about, you can always have these ideas. So we put them on the 24-month calendar. I think that's on page 56 of your workbook. Anyway, it's something else to help you get organized. And it works.
So,
I think that's right. Yeah, I think it's around there. The homework from the last time, again, you've been obviously quite, you know, you had your family issues. But target niches, we're going to identify target niches, centers of influence, and then you got the scheduler from Cindy. We did not discuss the 5-star model, and we're kind of over today, so we won't have time for that. But how about target niches and centers of influence? Any ideas on those?
Well, yeah. I would say niches is, I think my number one target would be family offices.
Okay.
So that's, I have... 2-3 of my most top 5 clients are family offices. Okay.
Right.
So we have an expertise there. Then would be we have 2 sophisticated clients. Okay. In terms of trading and, you know, market and investment ideas. And then I would say executives, president and CEO of a company. Then also another one in a large financial institution that is also a high-class executive, okay? So those are, I would say those are our target niches. And then center of influence, yes, I have identified them. And I will say they're basically 3-4. And the 2 most important ones, they are lawyers and attorneys. Lawyers that they specialize in, you know, draft company. So actually one of the most important clients I do have, they were introduced by this trust company, okay? And I have a great relationship with them, and basically we do what you suggest, like we meet more than once a month and talk about it, and whenever they have a chance to introduce me to a prospect or a potential client, whatever, they do. So yeah, on that I feel actually pretty comfortable.
That's great. And you were able to introduce them also?
Yes, it's a two-way deal, let's say. Whenever I can, of course, I refer them to my clients.
Good. One of the things you can do is asking your clients in confidence, mm-hmm. can they enthusiastically endorse their attorney? And if they say no, that opens up the opportunity to introduce these guys. The other one is if they can, and they are very enthusiastic about their attorney, it gives you an opportunity to meet them and be introduced to them. So you want to make sure you have those records of who their CPA is, who their attorney is, and then you can go from there to other people that are influential in their life and important to them as advisors and meet them. So that's a great way to expand your centers of influence and also give you an opportunity to refer to your centers of influence when they're not happy as much, you know.
Oh yeah. Yes, and it has happened. It has happened. Actually, last year I have a client that asked, this particular client mentioned that was not happy with the current accountant and asked for help on that. So I referred him to this center of influence, this accountant that I feel comfortable with. And it worked pretty well. Yeah. I mean, but that was, you know, came up just by the request of the client, you know.
Right. So if you ask the question, you can be what we call a connector. A connector is a person that people go to when they need things, because they know you connect people, and you have this uncanny knowledge of who's good and who's not, who can be trusted and who can't.
Yeah.
And so that can be very valuable to you. So we want to build this list called Enthusiastically Endorsed Trusted Advisors list. So you want to start building that and then have a couple, you know, you'll have your primary, and then using the baseball analogy, you'll have somebody up at bat, CPA up at bat, then you'll have somebody on deck. You know, somebody in the dugout. So you're constantly having three CPAs that you could refer to. And maybe they specialize in different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're one is bigger clients, you know, nothing but clients with $100 million. Another one might be specializing in offshore trading, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean. They can be very special. And so, That's what you want to do, your forensic, you know, looking, you know, do your asking of good questions, you know, your fact finding with each one of these CPAs or attorneys in order to understand exactly what they do and who is their ideal client. So you explain to them what your ideal client is, and then they explain to you what theirs is, so then you can refer more accurately. And that makes all the difference in terms of helping each other. You want to make very accurate introductions.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those attention to detail things that make you different, and make you more valuable, that we don't think about. You know, we think, well, he's a CPA. Yeah, he's a CPA. He does everything. Well, you don't do everything. He doesn't do everything. You know, you specialize in Argentina. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty narrow niche in terms of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you work with family offices. You know, you we work with a pretty narrow niche of clients, and that's good. You know, you could even say I exclusively work, or I work primarily with family office groups, and then get 10 family office groups.
Yes.
You know, that can be a great business. Yeah. And then you're not just another advisor, see? They see you as specializing, and this is what I do, and I understand your business. Frankly, you probably would understand their business better than they would if you had 10 of them. Because, you think about it, right? They only know their business. You know all their businesses and can help them to be better at what they do. Because you do business with, but you see a bigger picture than they do.
Mm.
I mean, that's why I'm a good coach, because I've coached all the firms all over the world and thousands of advisors. So I can, you know, I can tell you stories and help you to see things that you never thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you can do for them.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So think about that some more, and the next time I'll put down that we're going to cover the organization, the team, although it's really not as big a deal for you, but as we get into what do you do for team meetings,
mm-hmm.
we can get into that, the five-star model.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, I like it. Yeah. And you think about what your ideal year should look like.
Okay.
When is the best time? If you had to put it down now, what would your year look like? And of course you can adjust. You can always adjust.
Mm-hmm.
But just pretend you have to put it down. You have to get your whole year organized. What does it look like? When would you go to Argentina ideally? When would you call? When would you do this? So we can get that planned out. And then you'll find that is so much help, so helpful to you. Because you can make reservations early. You can do all these things and help let people know way ahead of time when you're going to be there and so forth.
Yes, exactly. And it's much more professional, I think, for clients,
yeah,
and prospects that they know in advance that at least I'm going to be 3-4 times a year on fixed months, let's say, to put it that way.
Yep, they know exactly when you're going to be there, and they can plan their year out. So, particularly in your business, I think it's critical. I think it's really critical.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can be flexible. I mean, we're all flexible.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, but the idea that, you know, everything is planned can be so much helpful for your team, too. Think about it. They know when you're gone. They know that you're not going to be scheduled for that week or those 10 days or whatever you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's big help for them in making up the 12-4-2 schedule.
Yeah. I mean, and for everybody and also for planning recovery time, you know, to put it in those terms.
Location,
you know, it's also
right.
Important. And I love that concept, you know, from full engagement. Actually, I've been reading it, and
good.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, it's great. I like it. And
good.
Great ideas in that book also. Yeah.
Yeah. In your world, if I were you and your age and everything, if I could, I mean, I would, you know, I ran. That was such a big advantage for me. I could run everywhere. I traveled all over this country. I was gone, you know, almost every week. But I never had a meeting before 8 o'clock because I was always up and running at 6.
Hmm.
And I ran my whole life, up and down the Mississippi, all over the world, Paris, everywhere. And any time I worked, I was always running before it, and therefore I always had a great attitude. I didn't resent having to travel. I looked forward to it because I have a new track to run, And it just kept my attitude good, you know, and physically kept me in shape all the time.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things. You can do other things. You could swim. It's just a little less convenient, you know, because you got to find a pool and,
yeah.
You know, you got to, it's just a little less, but you can do it, you know, you can do it. All right?
All right. Great.
Well, my condolences to you and your family, and, you will always be close to your dad, I know. And, I look forward to talking with you next month or next week, and, you take care of your family. That's the most important thing there. Okay. Okay, my friend. Thank you very much, Luca. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you, Seth. Bye.